But what a wonderful, wonderful truth. Turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And as you're turning there, just want to also call your attention to one of the announcements that Rhema Zambia is receiving applications through the end of this month. And so we would ask you, as a part of Miracle Life, we'd ask you to do two things. Number one, if you haven't gone to Rhema, consider it. All right? How many Rhema grads in the room would say it's a good thing to consider? Yeah. It is well worth the investment. It's time. It's effort. You've got work to do, but you will come out on the other side knowing God better and more fully aware of His calling and the assignment that God has for you. Secondly, please help us get the word out. Okay, you can just, there's RhemaZambia.org, tons of information. There's an application online as well. But get the word out to people who are at other churches, to pastors, assistant pastors. We've got folks that have come to Rhema that are from Catholic parishes, from UCZ, from other Pentecostal groups, leaders in the Anglican Church, including two guys that are now full-fledged priests that are Rhema grads, that are doing an amazing job for the Lord. So help spread the word. Amen. Would you do that? All right. And so there is a table on your way out. You'll see people with red shirts. Those are not Alpha Course people. Those are Rhema people. All right. And so you can get information there. All right. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, get wisdom. We're going to talk the next few weeks about this phrase, get wisdom. And we're going to see how, where, why, and what are the amazing results. And we trust that during this time that our wisdom level will go up and how we apply the things of God in our life. Amen? So let's keep reading. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Now, this is not your girlfriend or your spouse. In the book of Proverbs, quite a few times, wisdom is personified as a lady. And Proverbs 31 is then a big description of what this woman of wisdom looks like. Okay? Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, this is Lady Wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. All right? So what do we see from this passage? First of all, obtaining or getting wisdom is needed. So when the Word of God says, get wisdom, it means that you don't have enough right now. All right? There is more wisdom that is for you. So it's necessary, it's needed, and there's a responsibility that's given to you to go get it. Notice it doesn't just say, wait for it. It's going to fall on your head. All right? Somebody's calling. Is that me? It's not my phone. Okay. Get wisdom. All right? Meaning, I don't have enough today. But here's the other thing when we read this passage. It says that if it means get wisdom, mean that there is more available for you. There is available wisdom from God for you. And we're going to see this all over the place, that God is not withholding wisdom. But there is a process where it can come into your life. So obtaining wisdom is possible. And also we see from this passage that walking in wisdom and having more wisdom is extremely beneficial. Did you hear those things of when you embrace wisdom? What happens? There's things called glory and honor. There's things of God's plans and purposes, and what he wants for you is linked to wisdom. All right. Now, I know this is a charismatic Pentecostal church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and thank God for his anointing. Amen. And we need to walk in more of the power of God, not less of the power of God. But there are things that the power of God is limited to do when you don't have wisdom. All right? Not everything, not every answer is, God, touch me. God, zap me. All right? I love to be zapped. All right? That's not really a Bible word. All right? But an encounter with God, the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. So God wants us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and in wisdom. Amen. We see that in Acts chapter 6, that they were smart guys and they were full of the Holy Spirit. All right. It's not an either or situation. All right. So getting wisdom means that you have a spiritual open system, an open system. Meaning that you can't just be a puddle of water. You need to be a river. There needs to be something flowing into your life. Okay? And I know this is not a good time to talk about rivers and flowing. All right? But we need more wisdom into our spiritual system. You know, there's a popular saying right now in the world. And I don't know who said it first. But it's meant to be an encouragement to people who feel discouraged, and it goes like this: you are enough. You're enough. And the Bible tells us something otherwise. The Bible makes this declaration that apart from God, you are hopelessly not enough. I would say, tell your neighbor, you're not enough, but that might not go so well. But here's the thing. It is true. Okay? Again, you can tell your best friend, send him a smiley face emoji. Hey, you are not enough. Okay? But what that does mean is, so first of all, if I don't know Jesus, if I'm not in his family, I'm not enough to save my life. I'm not enough to wash my sins away. I'm not enough to get connected to God apart from Jesus. Amen? But also as a believer and as a Christian, meaning that I need him. You know that song some of us sang, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. So that means that you and I live dependent on God. And part of that dependency is that when it comes to wisdom, which is really divine perspective, okay? And what we're in the study, you'll see, we're going to see different perspectives on different things of life, all right? But we need to see things from God's way and from his way of thinking. And what that means is that there are times where when I get God's wisdom, I have to compare it to mine and say, huh, Grandpa wasn't right. God was right. Right? When I get God's wisdom, I can say, you know what? All my single girlfriends are not exactly right about marriage. You know, you realize that, right? If you are a married person, please don't get romantic advice from single people. We love you, single people. You're awesome. Fantastic. Okay. Anyways, we could talk for a long time there. Okay. So we need wisdom from God, from his word, and God has already dispersed wisdom into his body on the earth. All right. So we are connected to the body of Christ and to the people of God. And oh, there's so much wisdom we can access from each other. Amen? All right. So getting wisdom means I look to God first. Proverbs 9, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everybody say beginning. Meaning it starts there, doesn't it? So the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the fear of the Lord, Jesus defined it as worship. It's a reverence. It's to be in awe of God. It's to bow at His throne. It's to say, God, You are God and I am not God. The wonderful phrase throughout the Bible is that, and this would include the fear of the Lord, is that we worship the only wise God. So who better to look for wisdom than the only wise God? Meaning the other gods, not a good source of wisdom. All right? That we look to Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it's divine perspective, it's divine insight, all right? And then He shares that with you. He gives it to you for every area of your life so that you can walk in the light that He has, all right? So finding wisdom in Him, finding wisdom from Him, so meaning that I align to Him. He's the plumb line. You may have noticed we're replacing the old concrete that's been around the church. It's worn out, and so we're putting in paving bricks. And as they're doing these paving bricks, they have a line. And they align the bricks to what's already happened so that those of us that care about details don't go crazy for the next few years, right? But it just looks nice. It's good, right? So, meaning that the line is right. Who adjusts to the line? The bricks. The bricks don't tell the line, hey, you need to accommodate my beliefs. I walk in my truth. No, the plumb line is right. Everything is adjusted to what is right. And so God's word, God's perspective is right. And then I adjust my thinking. I adjust my money. I adjust my marriage. What I think about being a husband. What I think about being a leader. What I think about interacting with people. I adjust to His line. All right. Now, God's wisdom comes from Him. It comes from above. But what we have to realize is that we live in an earth that has other sources of wisdom. And James speaks to this. James chapter 3, if you turn there, or if it's on your phone, swipe there. All right. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, let's answer that question. Just say this by faith. That's me. Oh, come on. There's a lot of uncertainty in this room. Let's try this again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Say, that's me.
That's me.
Amen. I'm wise and I'm getting wiser. All right. So, by His good conduct, let Him show His works in the meekness of wisdom. So, James has this theme throughout his book, similar to faith. Don't just talk about your faith. Let's see it. Let's see it in operation. Right? Same thing with wisdom. Are you wise? Awesome. Let's see it in your where it's been applied in your life, in the meekness of wisdom. 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Notice there is wisdom that comes from above, right? So there's wisdom that does not come from heaven, but it has a wisdom label on it, doesn't it? This wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And all the charismatics said demonic. Yeah, right. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, the fruit, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. All right. So this wisdom aligns with God. All right. My wife and I think it was Friday, so we went and we got a hamburger, a chicken burger. Check this place out. We went back, we had tried it before, went back, and the chips were highly improved. I was so happy, so happy. All right, but there on the table was a bottle of the greatest tomato sauce known to mankind. All gold. Now, for an American to say that, that is transformation. That is where I grew up. Tomato sauce was a food group. Okay, it was on everything. So there it is, all gold, and the chips are nice, and they've been sprinkled with stuff, and I'm so happy. And I open the bottle and I pour it. And as I'm pouring it, I tell my wife, "This is not all gold. This is nothing gold. This is..." What they had done is they used an all gold container and they put in nonsense tomato sauce. It's happened to you, hasn't it? All right. So, wisdom that's not from above, the earth still calls it wisdom, don't they? They put a wisdom label. It looks like wisdom, might even smell like wisdom. It's not. It doesn't have the fruit of the wisdom that comes from heaven. The wisdom that comes from heaven, James said, oh my goodness, all these beautiful things that come from it for your life and for other people's lives. Earthly wisdom that doesn't come from God, all right? It has horrible fruit. All right, so be careful where you go get it, where you access wisdom. Now, please hear me. There is some wisdom that's on this earth that people don't quote Bible verses, but what you find out is, this guy actually is very aligned with the Bible. Have you ever seen that? Okay. If you're in business or you're in banking and you're talking about customer service, there's a lot of customer service, you could say worldly thinking, that is simply do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All right. Value people. All of that it's actually wisdom from above, isn't it? All right. So be careful, be discerning where you get wisdom. All right. Now, James also speaks, if we go backwards in his book, James 1:5, about accessing wisdom and receiving wisdom. James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. Oh, I tell you what, if the verse stopped there, it would be an awesome verse. So when we ask God, our God is generous. Another translation says, he gives liberally. All right. He gives not in a stingy way. All right. Because he has no limit. Right? He can afford to be generous. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. How many of you ever been in a human situation where you've asked someone the same thing like 5, 10, 20 times? This happens in marriage. sorry, let me clarify. Sometimes this happens when husbands ask wives things. Right. I don't want to give the wrong impression about my marriage. All right. So you know, the 20th time you ask, you're thinking, I probably shouldn't be asking this, okay? Because I wasn't paying attention on the 17th, 18th, 19th time that I was told. But God says, hey, if you need wisdom, ask. I've got lots of it. I'll give generously. And you won't get in trouble. You won't get rebuked for asking. You won't be considered foolish. You won't be considered ignorant. You won't be the one in class that people point fingers and snicker about. All right. God says, I'll give it. James goes on to say, let him ask in faith. Well, I think it's easy to ask in faith if God is inviting you to ask for wisdom. Okay. So, let him ask in faith. So this means that if I am living a lifestyle of getting wisdom, asking God for wisdom, realizing that I am not enough, that I need more, my wisdom meter is not at 100%, so I'm seeking God's wisdom, then that means I cultivate a listening ear. Now, it's interesting, James goes on to say this, James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. All right? Quick to hear. Listening means that I'm paying attention to information that's not mine. Okay? That I honor and I listen and I realize that there are experts and there's wisdom and there are people and there's God's word, and so I'm reading books, I'm going to seminars, I'm asking questions. Okay? Because here's the thing about wisdom right now is you already know everything that you know. You already know it. And if you're going to be speaking all the time, then what does that mean? You're just speaking based on what you know. All right. So again, we are listening to God. We're listening to his word. We're listening to the wisdom that is found in other people. All right. Wisdom makes us more aware of reality, more aware of God's perspective. Okay. Now, we need to be aware and see things in the light where we have responsibility. Now, how many of you know that there are a lot of things in life that are simply not your responsibility, right? Nobody's asked you to participate, and you simply can't. And I have sometimes a tendency that I'm kind of an expert about things where I don't have responsibility. And then areas where I do have responsibility, like my life, okay, or areas where God's tasked me, I'm not as aware. I have a favorite sports team, and they're playing horribly right now. And I know exactly all the things that they're doing wrong. I know the wrong coaches, the wrong plays. I know the wrong vibe. And here's the thing. I study it. I get it. And I tell my wife all the time what's going on. And she's like, oh, okay. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter, does it? It is a waste of time. I don't know why I do it. But anyway, I think I'm doing it less, darling wife. No, okay. All right. So, be aware of what's your responsibility. And here's a really, just an awesome verse that tells us this. Proverbs 27, because I need wisdom where it matters. Wisdom where I can actually apply it, okay? Proverbs 27:23. Be sure you know the condition of whose flocks? Your flocks. This is a farmer. This is somebody who's got sheep or goats. Okay, in the time that the Bible was written. Give careful attention to whose herds? Your herds. Well, I tell you, this lady, boy, if she would just get her act together in her marriage, and if she did this and she did this, I know. And that other lady, boy, she really needs to get her act together in her marriage because she is just bum, 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 bum. How's your marriage? How is your wife responsible? How are you doing? What's your report card looking like? What grades are you getting from heaven? Well, you ought to understand, because this lady... Hello? Yeah, I don't understand the national budget and this, and they're doing this and this and this. National budget. What about your budget? What about your family's budget? What do you mean family budget? I'm an expert about the national budget. No, be an expert about your budget, your flocks. Pay careful attention. Careful attention. All right? This is from the NIV. New King James says, be diligent to know. It means you're putting effort in to getting the facts. ESV says, know well the condition of your flocks. Know well. I have heard horror stories of people, since this is talking about farming, horror stories of people who did not know well the condition of their goats at a farm in Southern Province. They were just getting reports. And when they got there, there's no goats. There's just the remnants of a big braai. Okay. Wisdom makes you aware of what is going on. Okay? Wisdom helps you. And so we make sure we know. We give careful attention. All right? Parents, do you know what's going on with your kids? Or have you delegated that to a boarding school? Do you know what's going on in their life? Do you know what's in their heart? Do you know their values and views? Why? Pay careful attention. Because one day, they're not going to be in your house. They're gone. And your ability to influence them is down to almost nil. Okay? So, do you know? Now, there's something that's more important than how your goats are doing. Although that's important. How are you doing? Are you aware of you? Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, go back to the other screen here. All right. Everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Think of what? Yourself. All right. So pride, ego, there's some ways that can influence our thinking. But to think soberly. Think soberly about what? You thinking about you is the subject of that verse. All right. So it means that when you are thinking about yourself, you are saying, how am I doing? It is possible for you to be intoxicated. For you to not be thinking clearly about you. That one way that people think unclear about themselves is that I'm still the one who made a mistake 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 months ago. And that's the Bible calls that shame. And so thinking shamefully about yourself is not thinking soberly. Right? Because if Jesus has forgiven you, he has forgiven you. You're a brand new creature. Who you are in Christ is to think soberly. Amen. All right? But on the other hand, to think that you're perfect, the only person who thinks you're perfect is your mother. All right? And not all mothers. Okay? So we must be careful not to let our soberness be affected. Okay? Now, to be sober means that you are free from things that would intoxicate, right? So that certainly includes things like alcohol and drugs, because they make you think not clearly, all right? But thinking about yourself, also, you could be drunk on pride. You could be drunk on the praise singers of your life. Looking good, Mom. People writing you, right? Well, what does God think? What is His opinion? Wisdom sobers you. New Living Translation says, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Be honest in the evaluation of yourself. Told you, PH and I, when our kids were in the home, we loved watching American Idol, South African Idol, Hungarian Idol. I don't care what Idol show it was, right? And you know, there's some good singers and everything, but for me, I don't know why, maybe I'm twisted or whatever, but for me, my favorite part of the show was when someone comes in and they say, I'm a singer-songwriter, oh, and their mama's like, oh, she's good. She is great. And she gets up there and it is just horrible. Remember this one lady in South Africa? It was like amazing how bad it was. You know? It's like she needed, literally, it's like she needed deliverance or something. It's like, I got the demon singing out of her body, you know? And the you know, there's the sweet judges and there's always the one honest judge. No, that's bad. You know, please, remember one guy told once one, please, you know what, you're young, you've got a great future. Please do something other than music for the rest of your life. Okay. And they're shocked. Okay. What's this lady preacher's awesome? Priscilla, what's her name? Schreier. Heard her on a podcast a couple weeks ago. And when I hear Priscilla Schreier preach, I wonder, why am I preaching? Okay. But you know what she said she does? And she's done this from when she first started speaking decades and decades ago. She goes in, she records herself speaking, and then she listens to it to evaluate herself. Oh, I thought it was just the Lord. Be honest in the evaluation of yourself. She would do a video. She would say, why am I doing this thing with my hands? So she'd put, you know, do something else with her hands. Okay. So a part of sober thinking is knowing what God says about you, that you are forgiven. That's why the Bible says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. He gave me grace. He lifted me. He's the source of my wisdom. We're going to sing a song. We're going to hear it in a psalm, and then we're going to sing it together. If you guys can come, we can get ready to sing this song. Psalm 25 is a wonderful prayer. It's a prayer of a humble heart, and we're going to put it in a. It's a song that's already been, it's been around for a while. Psalm 25:4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his commandments and his keep his covenant and his testimonies. All right. So this says, God, show me your ways. Show me. Meaning I need to have more realization of you and your ways than I have right now. And he will answer that prayer. Why don't you stand to your feet? Why don't you stand to your feet? Now, I want to kind of get you ready for the answer, I believe. That as we pray, God, show me your ways. Is maybe you are in a marriage where, you know, the same problems just keep circulating for 8, 10 years or 8, 10 months. And you're saying, God, show me your ways. You know the answer to that? Called Marriage Builders. Come on a weekend. Well, I thought an angel was going to do that. No, that really is. Angels are not marriage counselors. That you may be here and you're not sure if you're saved. And you've got so many questions about God and Jesus and Christianity. And you say, God, show me your ways. There was a man in our church who, Muna Singh, who's in heaven right now, but he was raised as a Sikh, a monotheistic religion. And he had prayed to his God his whole life. But he said, God, if Jesus Christ is the way to you, show me. Show me. He went to Alpha twice, Alpha Course. That might be the answer for you. God, show me. Enroll in Alpha. God, I want to need more. I need to know more of your word. There are so many things I feel like you've asked me to do. That may mean for you to go to Rhema. All right. So what I'm preparing you is there are some, this is a very spiritual prayer we're going to pray, but sometimes the answers seem very natural. I've sought the Lord about things for years, things my wife and I had questions, and one book was the answer. It already existed, but God helped us to get it and read it and apply it, and oh, such wisdom was there. Amen? So if you know this song, let's sing along. If you don't, you'll know it pretty fast. All right.
Show me your way. That I may walk with you. Show me your way. I put my hope. I put my hope. It's a show me your way.
Show me your way.
That I may walk. That I
stay. me your way.
Hallelujah. So that scripture we just sang, and it's from the Word of God. Lord, show me your ways. Now God says in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, that must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. So we're not horses, we're not mules, we're not stubborn. We're creating the image of God. We have minds and hearts. Those of you that are born again. And so God says, I will instruct. I will teach you. And so the prayer that we just prayed, God is already on record as saying, I will do it. So be ready. Be expectant. Have a heart that's listening. Oh, and I tell you, the wisdom in our heart and mind is going to increase. The fruits of our life are going to increase. The glory of God seen on our lives are going to increase. Because what we just prayed, God is answering. He said it, so we can trust Him. Amen? Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank You that You do hear us, that You hear the cry of the righteous. And Father, You said to ask, and so we have. And Father, Lord, all of our life, God, which way do we go? God, how do we think about this tough, tough situation, God, that we're facing in our family, God, about our career, God, the morality that the world just seems to have lost their mind, God. How do we navigate this? God, the pressures at work, the pressures on our finances. God, show us Your way. And we believe that You are, but we believe that You will, in Jesus' name. That I'm still the one who made a mistake 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 months ago. And that's, the Bible calls that shame. And so thinking shamefully about yourself is not thinking soberly. Right? Because if Jesus has forgiven you, He has forgiven you. You're a brand new creature. Who you are in Christ is to think soberly. Amen. All right. But on the other hand, to think that you're perfect, the only person who thinks you're perfect is your mother. All right. And not all mothers. Okay. So we must be careful not to let our soberness be affected. Okay? Now, to be sober means that you are free from things that would intoxicate, right? So that certainly includes things like alcohol and drugs, because they make you think not clearly. All right? But thinking about yourself, also, you could be drunk on pride. You could be drunk on the praise singers of your life. Looking good, Mom. People writing you, right? What does God think? What is His opinion? Wisdom sobers you. New Living Translation says, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Be honest in the evaluation of yourself. Told you, PH and I, when our kids were in the home, we loved watching American Idol, South African Idol, Hungarian Idol. I don't care what Idol show it was, right? And you know, there's some good singers and everything, but for me, I don't know why, maybe I'm twisted or whatever, but for me, my favorite part of the show was when someone comes in and they say, I'm a singer-songwriter. Oh, and their mom is like, oh, she's good. She is great. And she gets up there and it is just horrible. Remember this one lady in South Africa? It was like amazing how bad it was. You know, it's like she needed, literally, it's like she needed deliverance or something. It's like, I think that's a demon singing out of her body, you know. And the you know, there's the sweet judges, and there's always the one honest judge. No, that's bad. You know, please. Remember, one guy told once one place, you know what? You're young. You've got a great future. Please do something other than music for the rest of your life. Okay. And they're shocked. Okay. What's this lady preacher's awesome? Priscilla, what's her name? Schreier. Heard her on a podcast a couple weeks ago. And when I hear Priscilla Schreier preach, I wonder, why am I preaching? Okay. But you know what she said she does? And she's done this from when she first started speaking decades and decades ago. She goes in, she records herself speaking, and then she listens to it to evaluate herself. Oh, I thought it was just the Lord. Be honest in the evaluation of yourself. She would do a video. She would say, why am I doing this thing with my hands? So she'd put, you know, do something else with her hands. Okay. So a part of sober thinking is knowing what God says about you, that you are forgiven. That's why the Bible says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. He gave me grace. He lifted me. He's the source of my wisdom. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to hear it in a psalm, and then we're going to sing it together. If you guys can come, we can get ready to sing this song. Psalm 25 is a wonderful prayer. It's a prayer of a humble heart, and we're going to put it in a. It's a song that's already been, it's been around for a while. Psalm 25:4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his commandments and his keep his covenant and his testimonies." All right. So this says, God, show me your ways. Show me. Meaning I need to have more realization of you and your ways than I have right now. And he will answer that prayer. Why don't you stand to your feet? Now, I want to kind of get you ready for the answer, I believe. That as we pray, God, show me your ways. Is maybe you are in a marriage where, you know, the same problems just keep circulating for 8-10 years or 8-10 months. And you're saying, God, show me your ways. You know the answer to that? Called marriage builders. Come on a weekend. Well, I thought an angel was going to do that. No, that really is. Angels are not marriage counselors. That you may be here and you're not sure if you're saved, and you've got so many questions about God and Jesus and Christianity, and you say, God, show me your ways. There was a man in our church who, Muna Singh, who's in heaven right now, but he was raised as a Sikh, a monotheistic religion, and he had prayed to his God his whole life, but he said, God, if Jesus Christ is the way to you, show me. He went to Alpha twice, Alpha course. That might be the answer for you. God, show me. Enroll in Alpha. God, I want to need more. I need to know more of your word. There are so many things I feel like you've asked me to do. That may mean for you to go to Rhema. All right. So what I'm preparing you is there are some, this is a very spiritual prayer we're going to pray, but sometimes the answers seem very natural. I've sought the Lord about things for years, things my wife and I had questions, and one book was the answer. It already existed, but God helped us to get it and read it and apply it. And oh, such wisdom was there. Amen. So if you know this song, let's sing along. If you don't, you'll know it pretty fast. All right.
Show me your ways, that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope, I put my hope in. Show me your ways.
Scripture we just sang, and so it's from the Word of God. Lord, show me your ways. Now God says in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, that must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near to you. So we're not horses, we're not mules, we're not stubborn. We're creating the image of God. We have minds and hearts. Those of you that are born again. And so God says, I will instruct. I will teach you. And so the prayer that we just prayed, God is already on record as saying, I will do it. So be ready. Be expectant. Have a heart that's listening. Oh, and I tell you, the wisdom in our heart and mind is going to increase. The fruits of our life are going to increase. The glory of God seen on our lives are going to increase. Because what we just prayed, God is answering. He said it, so we can trust Him. Amen? Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you that you do hear us, that you hear the cry of the righteous. And Father, you said to ask, and so we have. And Father, Lord, all of our life, God, which way do we go? God, how do we think about this tough, tough situation, God, that we're facing in our family, God, about our career, God, the morality, that the world just seems to have lost their mind, God. How do we navigate this? God, the pressures at work, the pressures on our finances. God, show us your way. And we believe that you are, but we believe that you will. In Jesus' name.